This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9, radio that's out and proud. Joy!
You're with Paul and Fiona here on Saturday Magazine. And isn't it wonderful to talk about the many uses that the Victorian Pride Centre has here?
I'm always amazed when I come what's going on here when I'm visiting, you know, on weekends, but sometimes during the week too. I'm here and there's a buzz and there's people sitting. The other day everyone was using the co-working spaces downstairs.
It's delightful.
It was really great.
Who are we talking to next, Fiona?
Oh, our regular guest, Richard Kane, the CEO of Living Positive. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Good morning to you both. And it was great to have a chat to the fantastic volunteers at the front desk on the way in. Pride Centre has absolutely brilliant volunteers, as a lot of our community organisations do. We wouldn't survive without them. So any volunteers listening today who get up and provide that support for, it's a great way to engage with community and they're fantastic.
I'm with you, Richard. I don't know of many places you go to where you get such a warm welcome and they're so knowledgeable and friendly. But you're right. Thank you for calling them out, because they make the Pride Centre what it is.
Absolutely.
Now, what's been going on at Living Positive?
Well, a fair bit. We've just been up at the International AIDS Society Conference in Brisbane and also just launched our new strategic plan that looks at the next 5 years and where we're going and the challenges that we still kind of really need to rise to. It's about constant improvement, I think, even after all these years. It's about engaging those emerging communities and making sure that they're represented within the structure of our organisation.
So for the five-year plan, that's one of the key focuses. What are some of the things that you've noticed that you would be reflecting upon, some of the big issues that are part of your five-year plan?
I think it's about inclusion. We're really lucky. We provide a whole range of engagement opportunities for members of our community that are big ones like Planet Positive that include everybody, but also some really smaller, specifically targeted communities for different cultural communities. We have our PANA group, which is Positive Asian Network Australia, with really specifically targeted programs for that community. We've just started our first South Asian peer support group for people from that region. And we have not just cultural identity. This year we're rolling out programs for Bi Plus folks separately instead of trying to just link them on to either MSM services or into the heterosexual services, depending where they're more comfortable, to find their own unique space within the response, and also to trans and gender diverse communities, having some really specific focus there and just reminding ourselves all the time that one of the challenges of engaging that community is they're not a homogenous group of people. They're quite diverse in their complexity and their lived experience. And to be able to provide opportunities for those people to come together and self-determine. So it's not like me sitting at the desk and saying, I think this will work. It's providing those opportunities for community to come together and reflect up to me what their needs are and how we can meet those needs.
That's a wonderful description, because often, you know, we talk about the rainbow family as one, but we are such a diversified group of people. And I think you're right, you know, people have got different experiences and they need different things. And I think, you know, what you're doing sounds great, because you're giving them the opportunity to segment themselves and decide what they want. Tell us what's been going on in Brisbane. Who was up there, Richard?
Oh, so people from all across the globe came to that conference. It was really, really interesting. It's basically a science conference, but with a lot of work and a lot of engagement. There are a lot of community events in and around that conference. The pre-conference kind of had a fantastic forum on global movement called Act Now, and we had a discussion about all the barriers that exist and the numbers of people that are on the move across the globe, and particularly people living with HIV who may be displaced because of conflict or environmental issues, which we're seeing so much of now with climate change and things like that, and the barriers for their free movement, but also the barriers for consistent access to medications while they're on the move. And the concern is that a lot of people kind of don't want to take the responsibility for covering those costs, but this forum allowed us to reflect on what's the cost if we don't. support people to maintain their medications is they become really unwell, which is a much, much higher level of cost to the community than if they're treated. And also the prospect of co-infections with other diseases and forward transmission of HIV needs to be really addressed. And it was a fantastic conference. So I think next year the IAS big international conference is happening in Munich in Germany, and this pre-conference was such a success that it will be done again over there to kind of try and put some pressure on governments about how do we support people in this environment, and also to reflect on what we've done well here in Australia, but also the challenges that are ahead of us here.
Because I was thinking, you know, we've got a great success story from all the work that's been done, from all the communities that have pulled together, is that we've almost got to a situation where we've eradicated transmission of HIV. And that must be a great lesson to be able to take to other countries. But if you're talking about the population moving around, then that poses another layer of complexity, perhaps, that we thought May was off the agenda a couple of years ago.
And the lived experience of migrant and refugee communities is very different to the rest of us. And providing opportunities within our strategic plan for those communities to come together, and particularly if people are wanting to seek residency here, sometimes they can be really protracted, four or 5 year kind of quests almost, with really high cost factors at each level of that kind of engagement. And we bring people together, and we had a recent meeting that was kind of led by our multicultural working group that kind of advises our board on their needs, again, including people in our structures with feedback mechanisms. And a number of people that were on that working group are now board members of our organisation, so directly involved with our programs and our forward strategic plan. But bringing people like psychiatrists in and stuff like that to have really broad discussions about how do you maintain your mental health through a really long process when you're wanting to stay in this country, and just reminding people that most of those people that do that are very young people. A lot of them are here as students. They're quite well educated. And when you look at what they're going to provide back to our community over their lifetime, it's really a no-brainer for me. You know, they are so happy, those people that are successful in it. They get involved in our community to give back. They provide a whole range of ongoing kind of engagement with our community that enriches all of us.
Now, Richard, I think that with all of these, with the extended programs and with the ability to check in and develop programs around these new communities and existing and deepen what you can offer, how is the funding going for this sort of thing? Because, you know, you need to get more funding to do more of this work.
We just need to re-examine what we can do with our current range of funding. We got a really clear message at the launch of the state strategic plan last year that there would be no new funding over the next 4 years for BVVs, bloodborne viruses, and we've kind of got our head around that. But one of the challenges is that we've actually received a bit of a decrease in our funding. So we really have to kind of get in there and roll up our sleeves, and rather than be angry about that and hit the airwaves and grizzle about governments and all those kinds of things, it's about coming together and working with them to ensure what we can continue to do, how we can make those savings, and ensure that we still provide a really broad range of activities to involve what is now really a multi-generational response. I think our oldest member's 93 and our youngest is 16. So when you look across that, it's not just intergenerational anymore, it's multi-generational. Those lived experiences are very different. And you kind of, you know, we're supporting people across every stage of their life experience of living with HIV. And isn't it amazing? I was diagnosed in 1989 when I was 19, like 7 or 8 years before effective treatments. And if I had sat there and looked forward to today, I never thought that I'd be talking about HIV and aging and quality of life and all those kinds of things. So in some ways it's an absolute thrill, but in other ways it provides a whole range of challenges too within.
But also the organisation's had to change its response. You're right, that's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, we forget sometimes just how long ago that was, and you know, all the great stuff that's happened since.
Yeah.
How is Living Positive in Vic, working with other state organisations the same as you to you talk about your 5 year plan, but is there an aligned Australian plan? Is there some?
Yes, there is. There's a national plan which is kind of under development at the moment with NAPWHA, our national peak organisation. And so we kind of bring together all those strategies, the federal, the state, our national peak, our own. We look across at what Thorn Harbour, Positive Women Victoria and other really close organisations. And when we talk about funding, one of the ways we're going to get there is to really reinvest in those relationships across our other community-based organisations. All of us work in tandem together to meet the needs of people living with HIV in the state.
So will the five-year plan be published soon? Is that almost ready, do you think?
The Victorian plan, yeah. It's up now. It came out in February.
Okay.
So it's actually an eight-year plan, 22 to 30, with a mid-term review. One of the challenges with a reduction in funding is that we're concerned that some of those shared goals that sit within that plan may not be reached. And so there's goals around increasing quality of life for people living with HIV and also reduction of stigma and discrimination within healthcare settings, which is an ongoing problem for our community. But we're concerned that if they start cutting back community funding, that real kind of essence of community engagement may be lost over that period of time.
It's a tough call.
Yeah,
it's a really tough call. I think, you know, a lot of community organisations that come in and talk to us would hear the same sort of stories. But, you know, one of the things that makes our community really strong is the valued connections that we have. I know we were talking to David there about some of the stuff here at the VPC, but I think you've got a listener group here with a very good shared experience, Richard, that will probably have empathy with what you're trying to do.
And as I said, there's no use grizzling about it. It's a fact of life. Yeah. We're in a really funding constrained environment in Victoria at the moment, and I'm under no illusions about that, but it's just about then working with our partnership, working with our funders to work out what we can do to absorb that cost.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Always a bright, shining sunlight whenever you come into the studio.
Matching the day outside. It's glorious.
You brought an energy in this morning, so thank you for that, Richard. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the great work. Time.
See you soon.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.